You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Yo, people, what's going on? This is Adam McCullough from Stretford Paddock. Make sure you're keeping it locked to the Cooligans.
Hi, Bobby! Yes, let's go. Hello, welcome to the Cooligans. It is another Prem show. We have a guest host today because Alexis Guerreros has decided. He's like, you know what? I think vacations are more important than being on Twitch.com. Look, everybody in the chat, he might as well spit in your face. This is what an insult. But we have a very credible substitute today, Taylor Rockwell of Total Soccer Show. What's good, brother? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. First of all, he did tell me that he was calling it the Spit in the Face Tour when he was going on vacation, which I thought was an interesting choice. It took me a minute. I feel like you're half Andres Condor and half Max Bratos. That's what the eye puppy sounds like to me. And I'm into it. I like it. I think you can pull it off more authentically than I could, though, for sure. So
okay,
glad you did.
Two juggernauts in the Spanish and Spanglish announcing game, okay? It is an honor to be included with those names. Hello, everybody. This is the Cooligans. Taylor Rockwell is here of Total Soccer Show. Go subscribe to the Total Soccer Show podcast on The Athletic. It is the standard for incredible soccer shows in this country. So make sure you do that immediately.
That's all I needed. I'm out of here.
Okay. Taylor's just here for the plug.
Pretty much. You know? Said nice things. I'm good to go.
And we tape this show every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Twitch, eltwitche.com. That is a real thing, Taylor. If you go to eltwitche.com, it takes you right to our Twitch page. But twitch.tv/soccercooligans also works as well. But el Twitche is just, you know, a little bit different.
El Twitche.
A little spicier, you know?
Sí, por supuesto.
I love it. If you're just listening to this, come through on Twitch. And everybody who is on Twitch right now, let us know what you would like us to discuss. We have an expert here today. So, I mean, this will be a good time to ask questions that are not related to cheeses. And different meats.
Like, I'm just gonna keep distracting us because I'm filling in for Alexis, and I feel like that's my job.
Go for it.
How, on a scale of 1 to 10, of like most fatigued being 10, how tired are you of hearing him talk about pizza? Like, be honest.
So it's not the talking about pizza. Uh-huh. It is that when this is almost like I'm sure this happens in any relationship, a marriage or whatever, where you hear your partner repeat themselves to other people.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't mind if there's like a new tidbit of information, but it's like a comic. Like I see comics tell the same bit over and over and over.
Yeah.
And even that, it's not the exact equivalent because the crowd reaction might not be good. Mm-hmm. And then that might make me laugh. You know what I mean? But in this scenario, hearing about pizza over and over again and hearing the same line, it's like watching like a pickup artist in play and they use the same moves all the time. And you're like, all right, I've seen this magic trick. I'm done with it.
It's my favorite, man, because like we'd hung out like a little bit before we went on that tour, and I think the first time I heard him talk about it, I was like really interested because he, you know, it's a lot of like air bubbles. I didn't know that about pizza. Like, let's talk about some air bubbles and crust. And then like I just remember Alexis like just or Christian just sort of like being at the table and sort of paying attention, but like whatever, like being polite but not really into it. And I was like, huh. I wonder if he's had this conversation before. And then, like, 3 days later into the tour, I was like, I can't. I can't with more pizza. It's too much. It's only fun to just mess with him. That's the only time I enjoy talking about pizza with Alexis, is just to be like, yo, man, Domino's has kicked it up a notch. Makes him real mad.
I mean, at some point, yeah, there's nothing else to contribute. Like, just let him let him go.
Just let him talk himself out. It's like my daughter. Just let her – he'll wear himself out. And then we can talk about other things. Perfect.
And yeah, obviously you are a father now. We'll talk. We'll get into Champions League in one moment. But yes, I haven't really gotten to see you since you and your wife had a child. What's the experience like? How are you doing? Are you sleeping? Are you not sleeping? Mm-hmm. How's it going?
It's going better. Like the first couple of weeks. Somebody told me the first couple weeks you kind of caught
this. Hold on. What's up? I don't mean to. Uh-oh. Alexis is in the chat. Oh, he just said, "How dare you bastards?" Okay.
Is that why? Does it edit? Like, do I have to change my settings or something? I keep getting "how dare" and then it's a series of asterisks.
Oh, because it might be blurring it for some reason. Ahmad will handle it. But he said bastards. Okay.
Oh man. I didn't realize he was listening, and he can't talk back. So this is just now, like, I think who do I know that he would be annoyed? I think Carlos Mencia is a terrific comic with original material, and Alexis told me he was his inspiration for getting into comedy. That he just thought he was so organic and natural that, like, Carlos Mencia really was the one that led him into comedy. You can quote Alexis on that for sure.
Okay, clip it, everybody. Put it up, share it on social media. Okay. Okay. All right. So how? What's the experience like? How are you doing so far in fatherhood?
We're doing like definitely better. There's definitely like the first 6 to 8 weeks where it's just like you never quite feel like the pandemic didn't help with this, but you never feel like you're gonna see other humans again, and it's just sort of like we're doing great, even though we never leave our home and we only deal with a crying baby. But she's in daycare, which was difficult, but good, I think, for us. My wife's back at work. I've been able to get back to work as well, and it's like there's more of a routine now, so it's good. I mean, I still have like very prominent bags under the eyes. I think I sleep occasionally. My wife sleeps less than I do, so I can't complain too much. But it's been good. I would recommend. Just be prepared.
Okay. All right. That's it. You sold me. I'm ready to do it. Let's have a baby.
All right.
Okay. So let's start today's show talking Champions League. I saw a lot of people have already given either their opinion or been very sad. Some people, some Liverpool fans are a little disappointed. But, you know, I'm not very surprised, especially as an Everton fan. Quite happy about the result for them. But real quick, did you watch the matches earlier today?
I did. I didn't watch them the way like I normally do. I kind of usually focus in on just the one. I was bouncing back and forth today, so I watched chunks of both games, and then I get to rewatch them tonight to review them tomorrow.
Yes, and if people are not aware, this is what this is the total soccer show gold standard. This is the analysis that it boggles my mind that they will a game will air and then they will rewatch it regardless of how entertaining the game was. And is there one game? Are you gonna watch both games? Rewatch both? I can't imagine you're gonna rewatch both.
I'll watch Liverpool to see like what Madrid to limit them or to make sure they can score, and then City. Like I watched. I think I missed the handball, so I don't know how nonsense that was. I came in for the penalty basically on that one, and then I was sort of zoned out from that point on because it didn't feel like Dortmund had a way back.
Soccer Cooligans just weighed in and said, "First time, long time. United sucks. I'll hang up and listen to your answer."
Who is that person a fan of? And are we ahead of them in the table? That's my question.
Okay. So I guess I did watch. I was paying more attention to the Manchester City Dortmund game because that was the one that seemed like something they could be more of an upset there, and it started in that way very much, right? The goal from Jude Bellingham, that's another thing. I did feel like when he scored that goal, he was so not only was he very happy that he scored the goal, but it was a little bit of redemption for the goal not being allowed, or the foul that was called that he basically the ghost foul on Ederson that took away that chance for that tap in. And it looked early on like Manchester City, I thought we're going to get knocked out. Dortmund did what they could. Did you see the penalty call from Emre Can?
So I saw the like VAR slow-mo and it seemed to me like it was going to be given. And then I stepped out of the room to shave my head. That's when that happened. It was basically like, all right, that's that. I mean,
Is that a penalty?
I mean, it's the idea of like he heads it onto his arm, right? So then technically he's in control of it. So I guess by the rules it is, but it's increasingly, I definitely used to be more of a like, ah, VAR isn't that bad. We're just like being too critical. It's implementing the rules. It's just doing it in too precise of a way. And there have been a few lately where I've been like, that just seems unnecessary. And like, I wouldn't argue this in court or anything like that when we go to soccer court. But like, it does sort of kill the game. Because at that point, it feels like Dortmund are doing what they want to do. They're playing how they want to play. They've kind of got the game under control. And now they have to go out and change it up and get the second goal to make sure that they can at least send it to extra time. And I think that's always frustrating when it feels like it's a call that then ends up getting sort of changing the narrative and changing the structure of the game. It's not always my favorite.
Professor Wigglytuff said it was a legit penalty. Mm-hmm. This is a City fan also saying this, so we have to take that into consideration. But that penalty, it's one of those that if it wasn't given, I would be fine with it. Mm-hmm. I would be like, okay, I could see how the referee would interpret it that way. Because you've seen those not given before. That is one of those. Handballs that first deflect off of somebody else or another body part are usually not given. Emery Can was recklessly throwing his body, just trying to stop that cross from going through. But if he didn't call that penalty, I would be like, I see it. I don't know. Like, that's exactly how. I mean, there's some that are stone cold pens, but I could see how that one could go either way. I could see why people would be upset that it was given.
Yeah. I think, like, Emre Can, I think I'm correct in saying, was responsible for, like, three of the goals in some way that were scored. So maybe they just saw him do something and they're like, he probably did it. Like, let's just give him the penalty. It's Emre Can. He gave the ball away. It's fine. We know it's real. It's cool.
Wigglytuff also said Jude Bellingham got the goal he deserved. Mm-hmm. I will give him that. JLack94 said Jude goal was a peach. I love that. That isn't. I'm assuming JLack and Wigglytuff might be English or British or from the UK or whatever. I don't know. But that's not a term we use here that often, right? It was a peach. What is there anything?
It should be, because it just, I assume they mean it in the way that, like, peach gets used for butt. So I'm like, oh, it was a nice butt. It was a nice goal. It was very, very pretty.
The only butt in this show, there's only one peach, okay?
I mean, Alexis did say he was going back to the pool since it was closer than the bathroom, so maybe there's another butt involved in the situation, but we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, we're going to change. It's no longer the puppy cam. It's the booty cam, all right?
It's an anus cam, okay. Let's be real. Like, don't try to call it anything else other than what it is.
This is going to be the first Twitch stream where we do a proctology exam, all right? It's going to be fun. Okay. I like this. Wigglytuff just said, I love saying the name Wigglytuff over and over. Said City did well to subdue Haaland, mm-hmm. and a good sign for how they will do against PSG. That was pretty impressive. Outside of the Tyson's Pickle got a gift sub from FanXY. Thank you so much, FanXY. Outside of the mistake that John Stones made when the ball kind of went over his head and he kind of lost it, and then Erling Haaland did receive the ball and made a key pass that led to the Jude Bellingham goal, Erling Haaland really didn't do much. I was surprised, and I think maybe this was Pep's decision in he didn't start any strikers, right? That was also like a bit strange, but I think that was mainly to focus on Erling Haaland, my guess, not get beat by him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a couple things. I think that's probably part of it. I think he's been doing it just because you can have, like, the mobility and have four people on one side of the field and just completely overload. And the terrifying slash amazing thing about Pep seems to be that all those players know exactly what to do in any given moment. Like, all the rotations and patterns they seem to have figured out. So I think it lets them, like, possess the ball and kind of overwhelm Dortmund, keep Dortmund responding. And I think that's the idea, is once you can keep them sort of reacting to what you're doing, you're limiting their ability to play proactive soccer. And I think also putting them under pressure really quickly means Haaland's not getting even like decent service. It's usually like, just get it up, just try to get it near him. And I think if you give them a couple more seconds to find him in space, then it's a problem. So I do think to some extent it's a blueprint for what they can do against PSG, because I don't know if you know, Mbappe is fast, it turns out, real, real fast, and he real good.
I've seen him in FIFA. Yeah, it checks out, you know? okay, that's right. Preach Taylor Rockwell or Peach, as they say.
They do.
And I want to highlight this comment from Chad Benson. He said, peaches are gross, which I do not agree with at all. Peaches are delicious.
There's a window, though, because there is something about like fruit that's gone. I do love the joke that's like 90% of people won't eat like the brown part of a banana, but will put someone's genitals in their mouth. And it's like that's too much. The brown part of fruit is too much. And it's like, that's a good point. But yeah, I share that opinion that like a slightly brown peach is just like, nah, I'm good. We can keep moving.
Okay. I think we got to go to the butt cam for some reason. It just feels, it feels on topic. All right. Anyway, there was a comment here I wanted to mention. Somebody mentioned, I think it would, Wigglytuff said, I think it would be a City Chelsea final. So, Liverpool and, Real Madrid is playing Chelsea, if I'm correct, right? And PSG will be playing, Manchester City. Mm-hmm. All right. What are we thinking? Who's going to be in the final? Quick guesses. How are we feeling?
I mean, it just seems like you're not allowed to, like, not have Zinedine Zidane with Real Madrid in the final. Man, that's tough. I think if Pep cannot overanalyze and overthink this, I think he did that maybe a little teeny bit today and then ended up figuring it out so it didn't punish them. But if he can kind of get City to play their game, not overthink, not try to make crazy man mark or change the formation, I feel like it could be City just because PSG are still, I think basically until PSG prove that they can do it, I don't believe that they can do it. Even though City haven't won the Champions League, I just think Pep has the experience. They've got a ton of players who have and who know how to win. Not that PSG don't, because obviously they've got some pretty successful players of their own. But yeah, I think I give the edge to Man City, and then I think I give the edge to Real Madrid. And that's not just because I don't have faith that Thomas Tuchel will play Christian Pulisic if they go to the final.
Okay.
I think he will. I think the
I mean, I'm definitely excited to see this Man City PSG. I spoke about it with Alexis a little bit, just because it just feels like these two like oil powerhouses are gonna be you know, battling again. You know, it's just like billionaires get and their toys fighting each other. Okay, it's going to be. I think it's going to be wildly entertaining. I think it's going to have probably more goals than you know, I think people expect. I think it's and then look, I thought Porto had a chance against Chelsea, just because Chelsea, you know, they're not going to score a bunch of goals, and sort of anything could happen across those two legs. But I think Real Madrid, it'll be really, really difficult, especially with these big games. I mean, they just win big games all the time. So yeah, you have to favor them. Kind of nuts.
I think if everybody's healthy, I do. Like that is the question for. I think PSG had a number of injuries. Marquinhos comes off. There was another first half substitution there as well. So if they're not fully fit, if like Verratti, I don't know if he'll be back then. Like they did all right without him, but I think if they keep losing players, they're going to be in some trouble. Whereas Chelsea just do see. I mean, obviously they've got the attacking depth of like what, 14 different world-class players that they paid over $40 million for, like they'll be all right. So I think it depends on who is healthy and who is able to play. Obviously, like that's great, Taylor. Great analysis. I think if they have all their players, it's going to be important. Wow, that's some John Madden shit. But yeah, I think like there are ways Chelsea could do it because Thomas Tuchel is another one who I keep expecting them to have this downturn for him to be too much and over the top and just sort of break the locker room a little bit. And that keeps not happening. So I think Chelsea Madrid is going to be really exciting for specific reasons. And I think PSG the same, PSG City the same.
Look, as long as Chelsea are not playing West Brom, they'll be fine. Okay.
Dude, that was such a weird game. That was such a weird game. It's like, cause I realized like way too recently that I tend to let a game, like I swing too wildly. So like Chelsea are really good. Oh, but they lost and now they're bad again. Like it's too extreme. And so watching that game through a, like what happened to your mindset, it really was just like, they just kind of like, it just won their day. Like sometimes that's how it goes and not that big video.
Professor Wigglytuff said City must win the quadruple. Wow. Really just setting the bar quite low.
I disagree.
Manchester United supporter Taylor Rockwell does not agree with that sentiment.
He doesn't. He does not. He does not.
Okay. So let's take a quick look at the what am I looking for? I'm looking for the okay, here it is. Let's take a quick look at the just Premier League table. See what's going on. And boom, let's go. Manchester City, obviously, in first. I don't see that changing. But that
I said this on the show. Like, I did love that they had to ask Ole that after Man United won and City lost this weekend. They're like, hey, look, the gap's closing. Do you think it could be a title challenge? And even Ole Gunnar Solskjaer looked at the interviewer like, no, obviously I don't think there's going to be a title challenge. And I think that really spelled it out for me. Like, yeah, City's got this one in the bag.
What did you think of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's comments after the Tottenham match, right?
Yeah.
Because Jose Mourinho was annoyed mm-hmm. about the Son Heung-min. You know, he got hit. He got grazed in mm-hmm. the face by Scott McTominay, and really made a meal of it, as they say, on the Premier League broadcast. But the comments afterward were a little bit strange. It was essentially about if one of my sons did that, they wouldn't get any food. I spoke about this with Alex a little bit. It was such a strange phrase. I don't even know. There's something about, like, if he would have said he wouldn't have dinner, I would have been like, okay, that's more specific. But he's like, he wouldn't get food. Like, I'm not feeding this child. Yeah. He's getting no nourishment.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude, all right, I'm glad you brought this up, because it's like he's the baby-faced assassin, right? He looks, even though he's graying, still looks kind of like a baby. And I think with that, he was always just such a, like, happy, jovial person when he was playing, and everybody had good things to say about him. And I still, like, let that persist in my thinking of, like, oh, he's just a really friendly guy. And I'm sure he is. I'm sure, like, that's part of where he's had the success he has, is because the locker room likes him. But he does have this weird edge that I did not know was there, and I should have, because I think if you're going to succeed under Sir Alex Ferguson, you've got to have that competitive edge. But he's, like, so smiley and friendly, and then we'll say stuff like, yeah, I wouldn't feed my child if they did that. And it's like, like, ooh, there's a little Viking in there. Yeah. Right, Norwegian.
You know,
forgot
what?
About that.
Stay. See, I'm. You know, if he did that, I am not unchaining him from the radiator. You know? It's just like, wow.
It gets too specific.
Holy damn. Okay, I hope that's, like, conjecture and just you're exaggerating, because it seems like you've done that. So it was, and then Mourinho, and this is also, I think this is, Mourinho also takes, anytime somebody slights him or says mm-hmm. anything, Mourinho is great at taking the conversation away from the fact that he lost another game.
Yeah.
It's just like,
that's all it
whoa,
was.
When, now we're questioning Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's, parenting skills and all this other stuff. So it was pretty wild.
He's so smart. Because, like, and don't get me wrong, like, I will own that I thought, like, Tottenham were going to finish top four. They looked really solid. It seemed like he kind of had the locker room buying into what he wanted them to buy into. Certainly don't think that's the case anymore. But I think not only does he deflect by, like, deliberately antagonizing and knows that that is going to get attention, but he also does it by sort of attacking a Man United player, then acting as though he didn't do that, then defending his player, and then making it into a thing where my wife sent me a thing of, like, Korean newspapers were reporting that it was a racist comment made by Solskjaer, that there were, like, implications in a certain way, and it was just like, man, Jose knows how to deflect. The man knows how to be able to not talk about how bad his team have been and how bad he has been doing, and he is an expert. I mean, he's the special one. He's mind games for a reason.
It is during his performance review. He's just like, what are you talking about? Let's focus on Manchester United and all my former teams and what they're saying about me.
Yeah.
This was, but credit to Manchester United. It was, obviously they gave up the first goal, but big win. There was something to that, like, I think, comeback victory. And Tottenham really needed those 3 points badly. And Manchester United, like, to be able to win games like these, and, you know, whatever, you know, probably will not win the trophy. But it does feel good, especially with all the criticism a lot of the players took last season, early this season, Paul Pogba especially, that the play that was the third goal from Mason Greenwood, that play that Paul Pogba, that I don't even know what he did. He, like, flicked the ball one direction and got the defender going the wrong way. Absolutely beautiful. Yep. And sent a great ball. So Paul Pogba... we always speak positively about Paul Pogba all the time, and I wanted to mention this because he I just saw this. This was earlier today.
Pogmentary? Unacceptable. Unacceptable, Paul Pogba.
Paul Pogba signs overall deal with Amazon. Soccer Star's first project is doc series, The Pogmentary. Now, I love this. I think this is going to be fun and entertaining. I have a problem with the name, okay? This is
correct.
I think Pogba,
that is correct. Yes, you do.
All right. I don't, you know, criticize Paul Pogba the person because I think he's great. But whoever came up with this title is just not a good title. Because when I think Pogmentary, I think the game Pogs. Remember Pogs?
Yep.
And Slammers.
Oh yeah.
This ain't it.
I mean, and it's what they've done, man. Like, because they had like Pogback, and there was another one with Zlatan where they had like some Pog partnership or whatever. And Zlatan did it. He added Pog to like every word in an interview. Like, he scored a Pog goal with his Pog foot. Yeah, like, I don't know.
This is becoming Thomas Müller's Lewandowski, okay?
Yes.
Now it's getting into bad dad joke territory.
Oh, man. He just sits in that one, too. It's my favorite. Like, he grabs the mic, doesn't he? He's like, huh? Huh? I got it, right?
Hey, yeah. This thing on?
Oh, man. Thomas Müller's ability to just say whatever he wants and do whatever he wants and somehow still get away with it and be okay is impressive. Yeah, I don't love the name. I don't love the documentary name. I also, like, I get why that's the first thing he's doing, but there's something to be said for, if you all are pitching a new show you want to do, or if we're coming up with a, like, mini-series about this soccer team or that thing. Like, there's always narratives that you're looking for or stories you want to tell. And I do just sort of love the idea that they went to Paul Pogba and were like, you know, we know you've got some stories. What's in there? And he's like, me? Should we talk about, let's do me. Let's do a series on me. And then we'll figure it out from there. The next one will be about Mino Raiola. That will be my next series and about how he's
Bro,
the best.
That one has to happen. Not only a documentary, but we need, like a series based on his life. I mean, that would be an engaging story.
Dude, not since I lived in Turkey and Iraq more specifically, have I seen a man more capable of holding more cell phones and cigarette packs simultaneously. Like, he usually has like two packs of cigarettes and a phone and then another phone and a lighter at least. And it's
hilarious.
He goes in armed with what he needs to get the job done, apparently.
Okay, this is my arsenal right here. So I always think about for some reason, I always think about the Kardashians, because obviously this is like basically going to be a reality show to some degree. But when you let people into your life while you're playing, while you're actively playing, it usually doesn't go well,
no.
Right? There's I don't know if this is a good sign that because for someone, especially in England, who's so scrutinized and criticized for anything that he does, I think this is him taking ownership of that criticism, and at least he's going to make money off of it, right? Because
he
is an interesting character, and people are, you know, his IG story alone is wildly entertaining. So, but I'm worried, and you know, you don't really see this from Premier League players, especially like we've seen it for what was Manchester City's documentary?
I think they're both just All or Nothing, right? Same thing with the Spurs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't even know. I didn't know if they were different names. But we can do the Hard Knocks style, right?
Yeah.
And that worked. But if it's going to be about one person, then all the clicks, all the tweets, everything is going to be just about Paul Pogba to another degree. I don't know if this is a good move for his playing career and his time in England right now.
No. And it's certainly not a thing that, like, if Alex Ferguson was there, there's no chance in hell he's letting cameras into a locker room. You mentioned Hard Knocks. I don't know this. Like, has a Hard Knocks team ever won the Super Bowl?
I can confidently say no, but if anybody in the chat knows otherwise, please.
Because I feel like you're right, that it's never – I'm trying to think of a time that it was like, because Sunderland Till I Die, the original premise was like, here's the team that are going to go straight back up, and we all know it, and let's show their meteoric rise, and then it did not go that way. And it's always like, it is a risky thing. You're not wrong. I think it'd be cool if it actually showed the side of him we probably don't get to see. I don't really see his Instagram story, so maybe he covers this stuff, but like, I didn't know that he was a practicing Muslim until like maybe this year when he started to incorporate that into his celebrations and his pre-match prayers. And like, that's really fascinating to me. And it's a thing where I feel like there's so much to these players that we don't see, and then the moments you do get to see it, it's sort of like, oh, right, there's a person there. And it would be interesting if you got to see who he actually is and what he believes and what he's into, but I imagine we'll get more of a Paul Pogba dancing to pop music and then photos of him as a child and that sort of thing.
I love him mainly because he I think he speaks about like 6 or 7 languages.
Yeah, he does. And
he does that thing where when he's speaking to he did this with I think Juan Cuadrado in at Juve, or he was speaking to someone Colombian and then he'll speak Spanish in their accent. So not only does he's French, but he speaks several different languages, and then he'll also have fun and joke around in that accent as well and make people really feel welcome. Somebody did ask, why do English blokes I can't remember who asked, but why do English blokes not like Paul Pogba? And we had interviewed on the TV show, we spoke to Adam McCullough, who is one of the Red Devils, full-time Devils, yeah. Stretford End, those guys. And he put it succinctly and was just like, you know, the English press, they lose their mind when it's like a black man who's Muslim and loves to dance, and they're like, okay, there's too many things here that they're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, historically, a black man who converts to Islam doesn't really get treated well by the sports industry. Muhammad Ali had his own sort of issues with the government and the media. So yeah, it's not always a. It like I mean yeah I think look at how Graham Souness talks about Paul Pogba, and I think that explains a long way towards why some people
one of
don't
my
like
favorite
him.
Memes ever, the one of just everybody no matter what's going on in the world, they people always relate it back to, but what is Paul Pogba doing about this
dude? Makes me laugh, and that man
all the time,
oh god, like Graham Souness, he had one where he was talking about Paul Pogba instigating. And it's like, I don't know, like, because I love Galatasaray, I know this story, but, like, that is a man you can find the photo of, and you can see the riot that happened afterwards. Graham Souness, when he manages Galatasaray, runs to midfield of Fenerbahce Stadium and plants a Galatasaray flag at midfield after they win, and it's a brawl afterwards. And for that dude who made his career off of, like, physical confrontation to be like, it's shameful what he's doing. It's like,
he needs to class it up a little bit. Yeah. Colo Blanco just said that Paul Pogba went to Colombia for a charity game. I was there. It was fun. Look at that.
All right.
You love to see it, man. Paul Pogba is one of the to me, it's almost frustrating that he isn't. And maybe this is just simply like a you know, obviously he's not as good a player as like a Messi. But marketability, man. The dude should be everywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a yes or a no?
Well, no, I'm just like he has those. Well, okay. So this is like maybe an asshole way to put this, but like I don't really believe in the idea that there's like a best player in the world. Like right, like there is one right now, and it could be very different an hour from now. Like it's sort of, I feel like it's a constant thing. And there are moments when I think Paul Pogba is the most unplayable player on the planet. I think then Kylian Mbappe kicks a ball and I'm like, oh no, it's him. But I think like, yeah, there are times when he does things that I don't think any other player I've seen can do, because he has the physicality, but then the technical ability, but also the awareness and sort of problem solving ability on the fly while doing all those things. So I've never seen somebody like hold off two players while bringing down a ball and then simultaneously playing in like an inch perfect pass into a channel. The way he can do those things, it really, I think it's the physicality aspect of it certainly puts him in a different category than Messi, who is, what, 5'5"? Messi's a straight-up rectangle, by the way. He is, like, he's like that tall and that wide. It's very strange.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. He's just an odd shape that no one can really defend.
I get why you could not knock him off a ball. Like, it's, I don't know. It's like, yeah, there's just no way to deal with his size and how low he is versus how wide he is. It's like knocking over a roly-poly.
A couple other things that I wanted to get to. This was just a weird story. I saw this earlier. This was in in Iran. The coverage from the Tottenham Manchester United match, for whatever reason, 100 times in the match, they avoided showing the bare legs of the female assistant referee, Sean Macielis. That's her there. Obviously we can talk about culturally at different countries or whatever, but to the energy put into this to not show legs of a female assistant referee is just such Such a, obviously, in my opinion, such a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Either I could they have maybe blurred it or something? It seems like the cutaway aspect ruins. You can't even really watch the game, right? It makes it really, really difficult.
Yeah, it reminds me of those stories about North Korea when they played Brazil, and like I know it didn't actually happen, but they're all the jokes about how they're gonna like cut it to make it look like they won the World Cup. yeah, it's a little bit like that, and I think. Like, I think it's the Ayatollah situation where you have to appease the religious elders, so you have to then make the broad. But, like, it just is always goes back to, like, do you think that people in Iran are going to be like, well, female officials with legs? Like, that's it. I'm done. Like, that's it.
Some people are saying that's their culture. I understand. Yeah. Fine. I understand it's their culture. Mm-hmm. No, but I'm not trying to be negative about that. But it is such a, like, a you know, the energy put into not you know, showing a woman's legs. I mean, there's so many more productive things we can do to help society. That's all I'm saying. There's really we have bigger problems than seeing women's legs. I think that we other countries could bend the rules culturally to try to address other issues. That's all I'm saying, because the energy put into this seems to be it is an active concerted effort. We have to save society by making sure we do not show. Chad Benty saying, "Wait, women have legs? It's Man. Crazy." I know. It's just such a look. And we've been seeing it regularly, but it feels like a level of censorship that helps nobody. That's really that, you know, I don't understand what the criticism is going to be if they see legs.
Well, so this is the type of analysis I'm sure Alexis normally provides. I'm sorry, I'm not riffing more because I'm not. I think, as I understand it, basically the Iranian government is, at least for the longest time, was like subservient to the religious hierarchy, which I think was always the Ayatollah or various Ayatollahs, because I think that's a title. But as I understand it, like, basically, if they don't like what you're doing, it's going to be a problem. So if you're the government, you're always sort of making sure that what you're doing is okay. And so I think the government is probably less concerned about it, but more concerned about what happens to us if the religious hierarchy is now like, ah, no, we don't like that. We don't vote for this guy anymore. So there's like a level of appeasement, I think, because if you talk to an Iranian person, I mean, Iranians are genuinely some of the friendliest people I've ever met in my life. And in as much as when I was like mortified to have Donald Trump as a president, they are generally as well, in at least the Iranians that I've spoken to. Yeah. So it's, and they're ashamed of Donald Trump as well, obviously. But I think that's part of it. But it is still very like, at that point, yeah, just blur it. Like, if that's what you want to do, just you have that technology too.
Because I went to Dubai, and I don't know again the sort of the religious rules of the different countries. But when I was there, there were people that. Usually the people that were there or maybe from there or if they were Arab or Muslim, they would adhere to those rules. Mm-hmm. But if people were not from that country or didn't follow that religion, no one was berated if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this seems like one of those scenarios where this person like is clearly Sean Macielis is not. Not going to be in full garb while she's trying to keep up with Marcus Rashford.
I would guess not. I don't think the burqa really lends itself to a lot of breathability. it's not the most like
you can't porous. Really pivot too well, I assume. But the but that seems to be like there seems to be an exception, at least when I'm in Dubai. When I was there, it was like, If you don't follow this religion, then it's okay if you do that. I can't see why that exception can't be made simply for television as well. Okay.
You know about Iran, right? Like, they're not like always. I think it's different. I mean, like, and Qatar. Honestly, I have the same issue, like concerns about Qatar hosting the World Cup, because I think I know they said they're going to relax it, but. It's still a really – it's a repressive state. And, like, it's why – like, it's probably the first World Cup that I could go to professionally and maybe even just, like, afford to go to. And yet I don't want to go to a World Cup in Qatar. It's just not – and it's nothing against the people. It's nothing against the region. It's not – it's just sort of why we're there, everybody knows, and how that came to be, everybody knows, and it's just not my favorite thing.
Yeah, it is a weird, like, well, the wheels are already in motion. Can't do anything about it now.
All right, I got to talk about that for a minute. That continues to blow my mind. How, like, their bid, do you remember their bid that it was going to be, like, everything underground, like, underground access to everything, air-conditioned stadiums, they're going to somehow control the clouds to block the sun? Like, it was this whole thing. And then as soon as they get it, they're like, nah, fuck that. We didn't mean any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't mean any of that.
Oh, you were serious? I didn't know you were actually going to give it to us.
Sorry. It's going to have to be in the cold weather. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been to a World Cup, and I'm definitely way more excited about the World Cup in Australia, the Women's World Cup,
dude,
in 2023. That's one that I'm, thinking, like, I want to be at that one. So that should be exciting.
That's probably the – because – I didn't really want to go to Russia. I didn't really want to go to Qatar. So, yeah, I think. All right, I'm with you on that one. Let's go to Australia.
Yeah,
let's make it happen.
I don't want – why do the World Cups have to be so, like tainted and feel – I don't want to feel bad. You're making me feel – I want to watch the best players in the world play. Can you just keep it, like, corrupt light? You know, tone it. Like, we all have issues with, like, mega corporation conglomerate, but we have to, like, rationalize it in some way. And FIFA's just like, whatever. Go to the game. Don't go to the game. We don't care,
dude. It's a lot, and it is like even going back to, like, I didn't know that 2006 had that World Cup had bribery allegations for Germany getting to host it, and it's just like. It's not new. It's obviously not new, despite what United Passions, the FIFA movie, would have us believe, where Sepp Blatter was a saint who never thought there would be corruption. And heavens, how could this have happened? Like, it's not a new thing, I know, but it's still just a, like, you assume they got to change. Like, the mafia has pivoted away from, like, such obvious shit because everybody knows what the mafia does. So now we've got to IT scams. Like, FIFA somehow continues to do the same stuff they've always done. Somehow more publicly, and yet here we are.
Did you see that SNL sketch with it was maybe a couple months ago, and it was like it was a mafia meeting, but they were talking about like they were getting more progressive with language.
Yes.
Like, they were like, hey, you can't say those homophobic, you can't be that way anymore. Yeah. You know, Richie, whatever.
That was definitely a Bill Burr written sketch, because I think he was in that one. That felt like his kind of thing. Yeah.
Which is, that's, FIFA can't even adapt in that way. They just refuse to.
That's painful and probably true at the same time. The mafia has done a better job of legitimizing itself and reorganizing than FIFA. Yikes.
Yeah. At least the mafia gives out turkeys. You know what I mean? Like, they try their best.
You're right, dude. FIFA give out, like, FIFA branded turkeys that cost $400 and you have to buy it. Oh, I hate FIFA. Anyway, hi.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's the only way to get the sport we love, right? But we got to figure something out. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? I saw somebody, IDO 211. Thank you for following earlier as well. Everybody, thank you so much for hanging out. Is there anything else you think we should talk about before we wrap up? We're about to end this in just a moment. Oh, actually, I did have a thing that I wanted to talk about. Maybe we'll end on this if nothing else comes up. But Taylor Rockwell, you tweeted something really great earlier today that was so funny.
Oh, shit.
And it was about your most awkward date ever.
Yeah.
And it was so great that I have to show everybody, and we got to bring it up, and you got to get into a little bit more detail with this story. But this is – so we'll just read this. So obviously people are asking, what's the most awkward date y'all ever been on? And this everybody's kind of tweeting about it. And Taylor says, my Russian teacher – I already have questions there.
Mm-hmm.
I was 23, and her ex-boyfriend, the center for VCU, showed up during the date. After he left, I asked why she had gone on the date. They were pretty clearly still together. And she said, because you are different. You are innocent. Like a puppy. All right. And Revy.
There's my innocent puppy right there.
There she is. Okay. Revy, what are your thoughts on dad's most awkward date?
I mean, she's happy it didn't work out. long term. You know, she's pretty happy to be here. She's rocking her Wolves onesie and looking horrified. That's fun. What's up, baby? How you doing?
She is like, what? What is this Twitch chat is making me uncomfortable. She's like, Dad, what is that? Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, she likes Uncle Christian for sure. She's coming back to you next. My wife is here on baby duty. Thank you very much. She's made her debut. All right, I think that's her first
one. Sweet, yeah, congrats.
Man. Thank you. So, your questions about my embarrassing date.
Yes. So, Russian teacher. Why did you have a Russian teacher? Why were you studying Russian?
It is a very long story that I should probably not say so much of. But basically, I had a friend who was going to Russia. He said... He is Russian. And he was like, oh, you should come work for like my dad's company. We'll all live together. So my friend and I were going to move to Russia to live there. This was like when I was not really sure what I was going to do with my life. I think I was working in a cubicle at the time or maybe in a restaurant. And so we started taking Russian classes from a woman who was going to school at VCU, but then also teaching Russian at the same time. She was cute. And I was like, oh, you know, like interesting. Like, what's your situation? And so then
Just want to check. Is your wife hearing this going to ruin your marriage?
I actually asked her if the tweet was funny before I submitted it. I was like, is this funny? I can't really tell. She was like, oh, no, it's really funny. You know, no, she knows the story.
Know.
Because the part that I left out is, I picked her up, and she...
JLAC94 just asked, did it improve your grade?
I did not continue to take Russian after this experience. Okay. So there you go. No.
She ruined the whole language for you.
Well, all right. So basically, I went to pick her up, and I'm not trying to be judgy, but like she was wearing like the sex worker outfit. Like, so she had knee-high leather boots. She had a skin-tight leopard print, mini skirt combo, like a black leather jacket. She was like diamonds, like all. And it was just sort of, for me, who like went to school in Kentucky, is from Richmond, Virginia, and was like, I am wearing khakis. Hello.
Yeah, what like, were you wearing? Because this, I would love to see this side by side of just like, Taylor definitely paid to be on this date. You know,
So then we get to the restaurant and I'm like, and I shouldn't have been, because who gives a shit? But, like, in the moment, I was sort of like, I'm embarrassed. Like, I don't know what, like, people are looking at us weird. And I shouldn't have let that bother me, but I did. So I was like, yeah, if we could, like, have a booth, that would be awesome. And they were like, a booth, sure. What if instead of that, we put you at the most center table of the restaurant with all the booths around you in our, like, lowered floor? It was super good. Then we were sitting there, and this is when she said that I would be ordering, that she didn't need to see a menu because the man would order. And I was like, what? No, that's not how this works. And then her ex-boyfriend came in to eat at the restaurant, but then it became pretty clear that like they either were sort of together and not officially together, or like on a break. But either way, he like went to the bar, sat there, and sort of stared at us. And I was like, hey, why is that that giant Russian man looking at us? And she was like, oh, that's my friend. And I sort of looked at him and looked at her, and I was like, that's your friend? And yeah, she was like, well, it's my ex-boyfriend, like, you know, he just checks in sometimes. And I was like, well, that's the end of that. So cool. And then that's where I asked her, why did you, if you guys are still together, like, why are you on a date with me? And that's where she said, because I was innocent like a puppy, which I sort of, like, I didn't really know how to respond to. Because it was, like, on the one hand, like, cool. Like, all right. Like, I'm fuzzy and friendly. I'm, you know,
wildly fine. Emasculating, though.
Well, see, there's that. That's the other side of it. And there was, like, there was like the instant need to be like, I got edge. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I've been here. I've done this. Yeah, done that. And I realized, I genuinely did not realize this until today, that was the point of that statement, was to like bring out that level of like aggressive antagonism. And it did kind of work. I was sort of like, psh, I'll order for her. Like, whatever, I'll do it. And then by the end of the night, like, so this is the other part I left out, is that like I did then get the invite upstairs. And that I did decline. Because it was just like, this is...
By the ex-boyfriend.
No.
I just want to show you my large hands, you know?
Yeah, dude. The other part of that is like, so I think I was like, I appreciate it. But, you know, because she was like hesitant about going out with the student to begin with. But then I guess was into it. But I was sort of between the giant human staring at me throughout the meal and like... I got the tiny, it would have been like Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas, of like, I could go up to him and talk him out of here. I could be like, hey, bro, you got to go. And it was just like, that dude could palm my head. And it was before it looked like a basketball. So like it had hair still, but like that dude could just pick me up and carry me around. And yeah, so then I think I did like one more class with her, but it was like in her, I forget why, but for some reason she was like going through her purse and there were, of course, like several Magnum condoms visible. And that might have been the other one where I was like, there's a lot going on in this story, and I don't really need to be a part of that. So here we are.
I don't know if I can fill a role or condom in your life, you know?
Well, isn't it true that they're, like, not actually bigger? Isn't that just, like, a whole marketing thing so that people buy them? They're a little bigger?
They're longer, not wider, if that, you know. It's not a girth thing. It's a length thing.
Well, that's why I just use big old dick condoms. That was my favorite brand. That's,
it's a great brand. I hate that they advertise on Sesame Street. I don't know how they get that through, but whatever.
Whoever suggested they were going to propose a three-way, hardest hard pass of all time.
Okay, yeah, I think, you would be the ragdoll in that three-way getting tossed around.
Jesus. I mean, clearly I'm a puppy. Like, yeah, I'm not going to be the dominant one in that scenario.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. I was trying to think of the shiny trap thing. So, I was trying to think of my most awkward date, but I've had awkward experiences, but not really like just specifically from a date. I don't know.
I don't know if that's even my most awkward, if I'm being totally honest. Yeah. Like I had a string, and I'm not trying to, you know, offend or cast aspersions or anything, but I went on three different dates with like three different fundamentalist Christians without knowing it. And then like I think one of the times it was genuinely like every single thing I said was just the wrong thing. Because I was like, oh yeah, like she was like talking about seeing her grandma, and I was like, I went with our old family joke. She was like, oh, like I have these fond memories of my grandmother. Like I remember her house smelling of lavender, and I was like, my grandmother just smelled like scotch. That's all I kind of remember. And she was like, just mortified that I would ever make a joke about an elderly person. And I was like, all right, maybe not this one. And it really was like three in a row of just like, wow, all right. Like
that reminds me, I went on a date with a very Christian girl. And so it wasn't necessarily awkward. Usually when I've been on dates with very religious people, I'm just like, all right, this isn't fun. It's difficult to just enjoy you as a person because you tend to get very serious very quickly. But the one thing that was awkward about her was that she was very like religious, and then also like a little bit judgmental about like the fact that I wasn't very religious. And then when we would be like at a bar, she would get hammered, wasted, drunk. Like I'm like, whoa, what's Jesus now?
Okay, consuming that the blood of the Lord, man. Yeah,
is he at the bottom of that bottle?
I mean, if it was red wine, like you don't know if it was blessed or not. You don't know what was going on there.
Oh, it was just so strange. It's just the hypocrisy of like, well, okay, when are we religious and when are we not?
I don't know what the time constraints are. Like, should we actually talk about the Premier League for like 5 minutes, or do we need to call this one a day?
We did already. Right, everybody. We talk about Paul Pogba and his show and all that stuff. Right? That's really what the show is about.
All right, cool.
So we got everything done. All right. So we're gonna end the podcast. So everybody, thank you so much for hanging out. Hopefully, this was. The upgrade was obviously evident. We got Taylor Rockwell in the building, coming through on Twitch.
Yeah, correct.
Thank you, Taylor Rockwell, for joining us. Remind people where they can see you and see your work.
They can find us at the Total Soccer Show, also Soccer 101. I still have to write and record an episode of that for this week, so that should be fun, because I think we're doing today's Champions League games tomorrow, like around noon, and then I'm talking to Matt Doyle to do like the second part of our MLS previews. I talked to Sam Stachkel early in the week, and we've got Allocation Disorder as well. We got a lot of shows still to come this week, and also I'm planning to launch my other Twitter account, not Alexis Guerreros. I may have already done that now that I think of it. I can't remember. I definitely created a troll Twitter account like just to mess with him for like 5 minutes, and it was real fun.
Of It's a good deed. I'm glad you did that. and Soccer 101, which I listen to regularly, and I just listened to the one from Ryan Bailey, the AFC Wimbledon one I had tweeted out a couple of days ago. So good. If a person who, even if you know everything about soccer, Soccer 101 is still really great because you got to kind of learn about. I also listened to the nickname, the team nicknames, the baggies and all the stuff. That one was really good too. So check out Soccer 101 as well. I mean, it is a nice, especially like some of the episodes are a little shorter, like very snackable and entertaining and very, very informative. So shout to you guys for the incredible work that you guys are doing.
Thank you, dude. I really appreciate that. The 101 topics, like some of my favorite ones are the one where my wife will just ask me a random question and then I'll be like, well, it's good. I don't know. Like the why are there 11 players on a field? There was another one that she asked recently why are West Brom called the Baggies? That was the one. She was like, why does it say Baggies on the stand? And I was like, well, that's their name. She's like, their nickname is Baggies. And only then did I realize the absurdity of being named Baggies. So that was a good one.
It is a thing where I just accept, like, Baggies. I don't even immediately start thinking of drugs. You know what I mean? Like, I just accept it as that is Baggies. Yeah, of course.
I go with it was their way to hide their alcohol in public. That's what it was. They had to have their Baggies. Yeah. And credit to you all as well, because I feel like you all have done such a good job of handling the pandemic and continuing to put out both, like, Fubo shows and your own show. And it's, like, you all are so good at, like, even if I just turn on Fubo for a second and, like, it defaults to your show, there will be a laugh and I will, like, hang in for, like, another 5 or 10 minutes because it's just like, oh, they're riffing about this. And you all just have that, like, back and forth riffing so well. And yet you still manage to kind of contain Alexis, which is also an impressive thing because that ain't easy.
That's Taylor, that's mostly my job. Okay.
See, I believe that, dude.
I have to get lessons from his wife to figure out how to wrangle him and keep him in check.
Are there certain things? Like, are there certain approaches you have to do? Like, if you nag him a little bit, does he respond?
No, it's not really I think if you encourage Alexis when he does something that is that doesn't deserve a laugh, you can go that you're going to a bad place. All right. You're going to get more of the bad stuff and you're not challenging him to be better. And that is what I am here for. Okay.
That's awesome.
Everybody, thank you so much again for hanging out with Taylor Rockwell. Thank you so much for joining us today and filling in for
my pleasure. Thank you,
Alexis.
For having me.
Anytime you're welcome. Anytime to come through. JLAC94 said Lansing Common, baby. Let's go. Everybody on Twitch, a reminder, if you're listening to this every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, come through twitch.tv/soccercooligans or eltwitch.com. Come through. We always have a blast out here. Make sure you follow us on all socials as well, at Soccer Cooligans on everything. Follow at Fubo Sports on all socials and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel because that's where the full episodes of our TV show live. And some news in case you didn't listen to the podcast or earlier today. We're moving. We have a new time slot. We are now going Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern time, FuboSportsNetwork.com. That is where you can watch the shows live if you don't have Fubo TV. So Sundays at 7 p.m., put in your calendar. Our first guest in the new time slot will be Sarah Spain of ESPN. She's also the co-owner of the Chicago Red Stars. We had an absolute blast talking to her. She's super, super funny. She's obviously just a legend in the sports radio game and sports personality and journalism. She's really, really cool. She also, I don't know if you know this about Sarah Spain, Taylor. She was in, she did improv at Second City in L.A. when she lived in L.A. So she has a comedy background as well. She was really, really cool. You should definitely get her on your show as well sometimes. She's awesome. Super, super nice person. So,
I mean, and not just because I have improv questions. Also sports questions.
So make sure you check that out. Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern time and Pacific time. It airs at the same time as well. FuboSportsNetwork.com. Glenster25 saying, I can't wait for the Sarah Spain interview. And I want to give a shout out to Glenster because I'm almost sure we would have never been able to have that interview without Glenster. Glenster was tweeting at her and us saying all the time, you need to meet the Cooligans, you need to get them on your show, you need to be on their show, to the point where I'm like, I think Sarah Spain's getting upset at Glenster. Okay. But she was super cool about it. So thank you, Glenster. So when people say, you know, how can I help the show or influence the show?
Like harass celebrities on our behalf.
Harass them. Do follow Glenster's strategy and bother people as much as possible. Okay. You know, just start hitting up, Heather Locklear. Who knows? Just...
She got that soccer knowledge for sure. I mean, dude, I don't even know anymore. After Felipe did that article with Peter Sarsgaard that was like super in depth on soccer knowledge,
yeah, yeah.
It was just like, I don't know, maybe everybody knows about soccer and we should just talk to everybody about it.
What's the dude's name? I think his name is it Ira or Washington? I forgot his name. The guy from The Wire, the mayor that goes, shit.
Oh.
That dude. That dude loves soccer. He watches Premier League. He's always tweeting about it.
What is his
name? I want to get him on our show. What's his name, everybody? I forgot his
Maybe? Have I made that up?
I think his name on The Wire was something Dave.
Oh, Clay
Davis.
Right, of course.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot his real name.
Isaac Washington sounds... Yeah, that sounds...
Ira or something? I don't know. I forgot his name.
Anyway, I just finished rewatching The Wire again. God, I love that guy. He's so good.
Great. Great show. All right, everybody. Thank you so much.
Isaiah Whitlock Jr. I knew it first. In your face, Borg Martin. It was me first, not you.
Y'all the absolute best. Thank you so much again for hanging out with us. We'll see you Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, so come through for that. It's going to be a really, really fun show. So that's it. Make sure follow Total Soccer Show on all socials as well. And, yeah, the amazing, amazing show. It's one of the best podcasts in the world when it comes to soccer information and entertainment. So
thanks,
go for it.
Hi, Poppy.
Did I do it?
All right. You nailed it. Okay. I might use that as like a drop or some audio.
Poppy.
Have you seen David S. Pumpkins, that sketch on SNL?
Of course.
When Bobby Moynihan is the skeleton, he does that one. He does the like, "Hi, Poppy," and it's my favorite thing.
All right, let us end the show the way we normally do. Taylor, obviously, old hand at this. So for Taylor Rockwell, my name is Christian Polanco.
Oh,
and together, what are we?
The Cool!